Well, good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson again, 8:30 in the morning. This is Thursday. This is the Cup of Goodness program, where I'm going to just talk about and show in the scriptures, meaning the King James Bible, about the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. It's the goodness of God that get people to get excited about being a Christian. And the goodness of God is not being taught in the pulpits of America. And I'm just now finally starting to get some response from folks, and I'm just amazed at how we don't look to the scriptures for our final authority. This is not my opinion, folks. This is not my church's final authoritative comment or teachings. This is what the King James Bible says, which is probably why people hate the King James Bible. But it's really too bad, because the King James Bible, rightly divided, talks about the severity of God towards the Jews, and it talks about the goodness of God towards the Gentiles. And we are living in the dispensation of grace. And if we study the grace, and we study how it came about, and if we study what it means, and if we just look and see what Jesus did to make this possible today, to realize that we're hearing from the risen Savior, the Savior that everybody says, yes, Jesus died and rose again, but we're going to follow his teachings when he was alive on this earth, instead of, as he is risen now, we're not going to listen to what he taught to Paul, because he told Paul to go to the Gentiles. I don't know how you argue that. That's what it says in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 26, various places. I don't know. It's where things are at these days, I guess. Let's just get on. Program 92, we're going to continue with going back to some Old Testament end samples. And we're going to build up our hope and our encouragement by looking to see what's taken place in the scriptures at one time towards the Jews. We see it happening again towards the Gentiles. And what are we talking about? Well, we went to Jeremiah, and we looked at some things. We looked at where, just before Jeremiah told his people they were going to head off to the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, which is a type of the Antichrist, God was going to take away from them, and these are the things that are going to be missing from their land: the voice of mirth, which is joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, voice of them that shall praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. See, people don't talk about the goodness of God today. And the voice of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. The music that's going on in Christianity today is just rhythm, beat, flesh-oriented, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And if you want to know what those things are, we talked about those in programs 90 and 91. At least 91 anyway. And this morning, we are going to look at Ezekiel, and then we're going to go back to Jeremiah tomorrow. We're going to look at Sodom. Now, I know what people think of when they think of Sodom and Gomorrah. And am I going to talk about that today? Not really. Well, if you're going to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, isn't that what you're going to talk about? No. I'm going to surprise you here. This is two verses in Ezekiel chapter 16 that say why things have gotten the way they have with our perverted lifestyles in America today. Well, what about the perverted lifestyles in people's families? What about a person's own perverted lifestyle? Can that be dealt with as well? Well, let's go back here. And it says in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, we're not going to get very far in this first verse for a couple of minutes here. He says here, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Well, we'll stop right there. Before we look at what it was that got Sodom to get to where they were gotten, let's look at Genesis 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah were not looked upon favorably by God at all. There is no doubt. Genesis 19:24 says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Jeremiah 49, verse 18, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, I wonder how many people know that other cities went down to them, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Well, let's look to some New Testament stuff here. We have to go to Peter, though. Paul doesn't talk about it as such, for Sodom anyway. 2 Peter chapters 2, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Now, keep in mind, Peter's tribulation book. Peter is tribulational teachings that would have kicked in if they would have listened to Peter back in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and if they had listened to Stephen. And so there was an ungodly life being lived, but they were still having to live by the law. They were still having to live that godly life based on what Jesus taught to the Jews, Gospels, early Acts. They were made an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So, quick question here, bunny trail question. If Sodom and Gomorrah is there for an example after those who live ungodly, why is Las Vegas and L.A. and Chicago, New York City, New Orleans, you know, and start naming off cities, start naming off neighborhoods in these cities, why have they not been fire and brimstoned yet? Well, there must be something on hold. Yeah, it's called God's grace, even to the lost. But when the lost die, they will die in their sins, and God will have to take care of it because of the sin that they are part of. Christians, our works will be judged, but not us as a person, because our soul has been made clean by Christ taking care of the law and imputing his righteousness to us as a Christian, if you have truly the risen Savior as your Savior through Paul. So the Sodom and Gomorrah stuff, according to what you're reading in Peter and Jude and Revelation, those things should be happening already. They should have happened already. Jude, of course, chapter 1, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner. See, there it is again, see, mentioning about some other cities. How many knew that? It's just like how many times did Moses go up Mount Sinai? Just two? No, a lot more than that. Read your Bible closely, folks. Anyway, back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And then in Revelation 11:18, and the two witnesses, etc., etc., if you know that story. Well, we should probably talk about that someday. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So Sodom is not spoken highly at all. I mean, Sodom was a bad place, so was Gomorrah, and so were some other cities around it. Now we go back to Ezekiel 16. Now that we understand the mentioning of Sodom here, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. And here's our list. Here's the things we need to note here. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. This is what it was. Number one, pride. Number two, fullness of bread. Number three, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Number four, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Five, and they were haughty. Six, and committed abomination before thee. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. So yes, there was an abomination taking place in Sodom, no doubt. But so was their pride, so was their fullness of bread, so was their abundance of idleness. They did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They were haughty, and they committed abomination. And we all know what that is. Well, I certainly think we all know what that is. Well, let's look up haughty. Let's look up haughty, get a definition here. It's not an archaic word. It's just a word we don't use much, but that's not God's fault. Just look it up, and maybe you'll use it more often. Haughty, somebody who is proud, disdainful, having a high opinion of oneself with some contempt for others. Lofty, arrogant, okay? Proceeding from excessive pride, or pride mingled with contempt, manifesting pride and disdain. So what do we got for haughty? Somebody who's prideful with an attitude. That's what it is. So keep that in mind when he says in verse 50, and they were haughty. Okay, now, let's just picture today, 2014, or whenever this CD or whenever this program is ever listened to in the next couple of years or whatever. Pride. Okay? A nation can have pride. Okay? A family can have pride. A person can have pride. Now, pride doesn't have to always be a bad thing. You want to have some pride when you perform something, not in a show-off manner, not in a haughty manner, but you want to be happy with how you performed it, and you know you did a good job. Humble is important for God. But just keep in mind that pride doesn't have to be a bad thing. It just usually turns out to be that way. And we know that only by pride cometh contention. So a pride out of control, a pride that is a bad pride, a pride that is prideful. I think you know what I mean. You're very disastrous. Okay, so we can have a country that's prideful. We can have a family, a state, a person, an individual. Pride is an issue, okay? Iniquity of the sins of the sister Sodom is fullness of bread. In other words, they're doing fine. They've got all the bread they need. Fullness of bread. They've got the stuff they need. They're materialistically wealthy. They're fine, no problems. Fullness of bread. A country can be that way. A family can be that way. And an individual, husband, wife, kids, prideful, and have everything they need. Then we have abundance of idleness. Abundance of idleness could be a country. We have so many inventions and so many robots and all these things keeping people from working that they've got all this idle time. Now, I think people would tend to say, well, we don't have any idle time today at all. Oh, sure we do. Just look at the inventions and the easy little machines within the home for dishes, for the water we have run into our house from pipes. Nobody has to go down to the river. Don't have to wash clothes in the river. You don't have to go out and gather wood. You might choose to gather wood, but you don't have to. The list goes on and on. We have so many time-saving devices nowadays that what do we have time to do? We have time to watch TV. We have time to play our little computers. We have time to play our little telephones and iPhones and iApps. And, I mean, the list goes on and on. You've got time for sports. We've got more time for sports after school, in the evenings, on Wednesdays, on Sundays. We've got all this idle time. We have to be doing something. But really, all that time we're doing stuff, it's just idle time. So this country or this family or this individual person just has tons of free time, idle time. So they fill it with doing stuff, you know. Okay, now here's an easier one to deal with. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Now, that doesn't sound like welfare, does it? The welfare problem we have in America is because we're just giving them the stuff. We're just giving them the medicine. We're just giving them the insurance, apparently. We're just giving them the medical treatments. We're just giving them the food. We're just giving them the clothes. We're just giving people stuff. And there's no harm when it needs to be done, it needs to be done. But the problem was, this Sodom did not strengthen. These poor and needy people were not strengthened. The hand of. In other words, to strengthen the hand is to help them get up and get busy and get jobs, get employment, give them something to do to get that welfare thing gone. Oh, so that sure does make sense, doesn't it? Let's see. I don't believe America was always a prideful nation. America was a strong nation. But I think in lots of cases, it's turned into pride. And I think in lots of cases, the world has always been envious of America, and they've created a pride in us that's gone beyond where it should. So we could be a very prideful nation. We have a nation that's had everything. Fullness of bread. We have a nation that has just been abundant with idleness. We have so much free time, play time. Remember the days where people had to work two and three jobs? The wife was home just working. What'd you do today, honey? Oh, let me give you the list of things I had to do today. She didn't have any idle time to do this, to watch all these soap operas and stuff. And then you go to this thing where it did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Is America strengthening the hand of the poor and needy? No, we're just giving them handouts. And they're not being strengthened. The list is getting bigger and bigger. That way they'll vote for a certain political party because they keep giving them stuff. So that was a problem Sodom had. And then Sodom was haughty. That was pride with an attitude. And yes, then they committed abomination before God. And we know what that is. Like I say, I think you do anyway. So what's my point? My point is we look back in Jeremiah's time and Ezekiel's time, and the city Sodom and Gomorrah and the other nearby cities had a problem. And it wasn't just the abomination the people were committing. They were prideful. They had everything they needed, fullness of bread, and they had tons of idle time, so they didn't do What is that? How does that go? An idle mind is the devil's workshop, I think people used to say, you know. And they didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They probably just gave them stuff, you know. And yeah, they were prideful with an attitude, and they committed that abomination. So a nation can do that. America's been in that position. So what is going on in America today? Well, we've got abomination stuff taking place. We have these perverted lifestyles that are just overtaking everything. Well, is that the problem? Well, that is a serious problem. But when people stand on the street corners and yell and scream at these people for being that kind of a lifestyle thing, and they're going to go to, that's not why they're going to hell. They're going to hell because they're rejecting the risen Savior. That's the issue. But we'll save that for another program. I just want people to see that it isn't just that that we have a problem. We have a problem because we can be overly prideful. We can be haughty. We can be not strengthening the hand of the poor and needy. We can be have an abundance of idleness, fullness of bread. That's where we're at today. So we can learn from Ezekiel. That's the way it is today, isn't it? I noticed that verse years ago, and that verse keeps going through my head. That's what's going on. But see, now that I've been around long enough, I'm starting to see that there are individual families that are that way. They're very prideful of their family name. They've got everything they need. And they've got all this idle time. They can drive around in their fancy cars. They can go do this. They can go do that. And they got this. They go to these parties. And they just got all this. They just have all this idleness. And they just give stuff to people. They just give away the welfare stuff, you know. Don't help them become stronger. And they're haughty. These families, they got an attitude about themselves. I know. I teach their children, some of them. And these abominations are starting to take place within their family with their children as they grow up. Well, how about an individual person? Well, sure, individual prideful person, got everything he wants or she wants, got all this time to kill because they don't need education, they don't need this, they don't need to work. I mean, it's no big deal. And they don't help people get stronger. I know that people have given money to this ministry. It isn't just to give us the money. It's helped this ministry become stronger. It's helped me become stronger. It's helped other people become stronger. You're strengthening the hand of that person. You're helping them, not just giving to them. And these people today, that individual person that can be this way, tends to get into some abominational type activities in their personal lifestyle. That's what's going on. Well, how did this all come about anyway? What is going on here? What went on then? What is going on today? Well, we're going to finish the program this morning because we're up to 18 minutes or so. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 1. I'm just going to read it to you. I might emphasize a few phrases or whatever, and I'll try not to talk about it because there's a lot there. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 1, and we're going to see why the lifestyles that are going on today in this country are going on. Yes, pride was involved. Fullness of bread is involved. Abundance of idleness is involved. We're not strengthening the hand of the poor and needy. We're actually helping them stay poor and needy. And we're becoming haughty. And there's an abomination before God being committed in our nation and in many of our families and in many of our personal people here. Well, here's what's going on. And here's what's happening to children today because they're not being taught what they need to be taught. Here we go. We're in Romans chapter 1, verse, let's go to 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. By the way, that's where Paul calls it. He doesn't call it the gospel of Jesus. He calls it the gospel of Christ. That's the risen Savior. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein, where's therein in the gospel of Christ, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now here we go. This is where it gets interesting. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I mean, they hold the truth. They have the truth. They've been taught the truth. Seriously? So they hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Remember, everybody come up with that question, what about the people in the jungles? What about the people that don't know about Jesus Christ, et cetera, about God and everything? What do they do when they die? Listen closely. Here's your answer. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Godhead is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all three, okay? So that they are without excuse. Really? Yes, they are without excuse. God has manifest what they need to know in them. Keep going. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Now, from this point on, remember what's being taught to our children in America. Remember what's been taught to us as we were kids. Okay, were we taught the way of God? Were we taught the way of God more perfectly? What could I have done as a father in my family if I had taught them the way of God more perfectly many, many years ago? Okay, what's going on in the teen departments? What's going on in the youth ministries today? So this is what's going on. Here's a summary of this whole thing. We'll keep reading here. Kids are born with the knowledge of God. But the parents either have to keep teaching it to them, or they teach it out of them. That's what's happening. You'll understand it when I read the rest of this. Verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Listen closely. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They took an uncorruptible God, and they said, well, yes, the Bible's man has taken over those Bibles, so God can't preserve what He promised. See what I'm saying here? They're not looking to Him as God who can preserve His word like He promised. They're looking at a God who couldn't hang on to it quite. He couldn't keep them preserved. Became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay, verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. There's our modern Bible, see? They've changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. They're worshiping themselves more than God, the creature who God created. That's the creature. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is what's happening in America. This is what's happened in churches. This is what's happening in families. This is what's happening to individual people. They're changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. They don't thank Him as God anymore. Their imaginations become vain. Their foolish heart is darkened. Ephesians 4 talks about that. God gives these people up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And they're worshiping the creature more than the Creator. Verse 26, here we go. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that means they had it at one time, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Then he lists them, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, I think I pronounced that correctly, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Then he goes on in chapter 2. We'll finish up here now. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Now, here's the big thing at the end. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now here's the big verse. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's where things are at in our country. We have pride, we have fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, haughty, and these abominations are coming about because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God and image made like the corruptible man. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and they're worshiping themselves. And these are the things they do. Men with men, women with women, and it's all against the natural use. It's that simple. Well, going back to Jeremiah, going back to Ezekiel, and then looking to Paul in Romans chapter 1, we sure understand what's going on today. But it's more than just a perverted lifestyle. There's things that have come about over the years that have brought this all on. And this is what's happening to our youth of today. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 32. Read it, and read it, and realize that what's going on today is a result of the Word of God being changed into a lie. To get rid of that King James Bible is what's destroying this nation. We will talk more tomorrow.